Cleaning Nation, welcome to another super fantastic episode of the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast. So excited to have you back. Also, we are going to, I'm just going to come out. This is the first time I think we're going to announce live our next live event coming up in Phoenix, Arizona, January. I don't remember the dates, but if you go to growmycleaningcompany.com/live, they will be there. It's in a super sexy mansion. There are going to be only 16 of you, Cleaning Nation, there. It's going to be amazing. Natalie and I move in. We talk cleaning all day, every day for 3 days straight. Not only is it a ton of fun, but it should be transformational for your business. The guest that we've got coming up has been to one of these live events. I'm going to try and twist his arm and give him emotional consequences to show up to this one. So if you want to get to know this guy better, at this point, there's a 50-50 chance he'll be there. Today, we are chatting with return guest, Rockstar, one-on-one client, dare I say friend of mine, Dave Follinger, president and CEO of the Jack, not CEO, that would be important. He's not that bright or good looking, but COO, chief operations officer of the Jack Lorre Group, not to mention a real live Kentucky colonel. I have no idea what that is. We are going to find out, but I'm dying to know. The Jack Lorre Group has been in business just a couple years shorter than Dave's been alive. That would be 68 years. So that puts Dave, I think he's, well, I don't know. We'll get down to it, but not a young man, clearly. They currently employ 350 souls at that beautiful place. If you want to reach out to Dave and his team, you get a hold of him at www.jackloregroup.com. They just redid their website. It's super fantastic. Dave, welcome to the show, old man. How you doing?
Doing well, youngster.
Dave made the horrible misfortune of telling me it was his birthday coming up. And so throughout the next 20 minutes, we will be pretty much focused on Dave's age and infirmity due to that age. And if we can throw in a couple things on cleaning, so be it. What on God's green earth, Dave, is a Kentucky colonel? And how can I get to be a Kentucky colonel? Because I need that type of title in my life, and that I'm very insecure and need other people to bestow greatness on me.
Well, I reside in Indiana, just north of Kentucky, and a Kentucky colonel is the highest honor that the state of Kentucky can bestow on a civilian. So you're actually given this from the governor of Kentucky, Colonel Sanders, Kentucky Fried Chicken. He was a Kentucky colonel. A lot of important people were Kentucky colonel. Unfortunately, now a lot of not important people are Kentucky colonels. And it's really been diluted and almost meaningless unless you're in Kentucky. You do usually get an extra bourbon on the house if you're a colonel when you walk in.
So how I get the important people getting this, but how did my friend Dave Follinger get to be a Kentucky colonel? Was there bribery?
Oh my gosh.
Physical threats?
Yeah, it's sort of. Yeah. Do you really want the whole story?
If it's interesting, yes. If not, make up an interesting story and tell us that one.
It's only half interesting. So every year, a group of us go down and work the Bourbon Trail and spend the evening in Louisville. Actually, just did that last weekend again. And after the first one, a friend of mine who lives in Kentucky, he's the president of one of our suppliers, and we had invited him, but he couldn't make it. So Monday morning, my phone rings, and he said, "Dave, how was the weekend in Kentucky?" And I said, "Oh, man, it was awesome. We went to Maker's Mark. We went to Wild Turkey, you know, saw these great distilleries. Then we went to Louisville and stayed in the historic Brown Hotel and hit the Urban Bourbon Trail, you know, hit all these places."
So if you had tuned in to the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast, that's not happening today. This is called How White Guys Get Drunk. So if you're looking for that, you're in the right place. Dave, go ahead.
So you know, I hit the Bourbon Trail, the Urban Bourbon Trail. I said the only thing that would have made it the, you know, perfect trifecta is if I would have become a Kentucky colonel. And, you know, we hung up and I thought nothing of it. And so a few weeks later, my wife calls. I'm out of town. And she is holding an envelope, a large envelope, from the governor of the state of Kentucky. And she is afraid to open it because she has no idea what I've done in Kentucky, and why would the state of Kentucky be sending large documents?
I like that her mind goes immediately negative. There's no universe in which could be a good thing.
I am so in trouble. She is trying to decide, does she change the locks right now, or does she give me a chance to explain? And so she's like, "I don't even want to ask, but I've got to ask. I'm holding this big envelope. It's from the governor's office of the state of Kentucky." I'm like, "What?" And then it hits me. I'm like, "Oh my God, open it, open it, open it." And, you know, you hear the papers ruffle and some silence. And then she's like, oh, my God, are you kidding me? So she doesn't have the fondness for my affinity for bourbon. And she's like, it's just one more thing, you know. You don't need another thing to inflate your sense of self.
That should be good for at least one argument, right? If you and she are arguing, you should at least once in your relationship be able to go, I'm a Kentucky colonel, for God's sakes. Can I just have this one? Yeah.
Don't make me pull my business cards out.
Yeah, don't make me pull rank. Literal rank. All right. Well, if you, my commitment to you, sir, is if you get me some sort of photographic evidence of this this fine honor, I will make sure we include it in the show notes page so everyone in Cleaning Nation can gawk and enjoy. And I will change my business card to say guy who knows a guy who's a Kentucky colonel and feel 12% better about my life.
You will have it 5 minutes after this podcast if we ever get to the podcast.
So that concludes our How Rich White Guys Get Drunk portion of the show, which we might have to make a recurring theme. But Dave, what's going on in your world? How on God's green earth can we make the Jack Lori group just a little bit better in the 17 seconds we have remaining?
Yeah, no problem. So you and I have known each other more than a year. We've worked together one-on-one. We've implemented the clean profit method and still work to refine that and get better and better. And I completely buy into the value of niche, knowing who your customer is, who it's not. And we've worked really hard over the last year to focus on that. And we've found that the contracts we have with those customers, they see the value in us. It's a better relationship. It just flows through the business better. So I totally get it. But here's the thing.
I was just about to say, time I hear someone say, I get the values of niche, Mike. I love them. They changed my life. It is always followed by a comma. And here's why I don't need niches anymore. I'm sure you would never do that, Dave, but you go right ahead, buddy. I'm listening.
So here's the thing. I want to scale the business. So I'm not talking about, 10 or 20% growth per year. I'm talking growing 10 times, not per year, but I mean, we can get this thing into the tens of millions of dollars. But I don't see us being able to stick with the niche and the systems that we have in place to attract clients right now. And so I see these opportunities that are bid opportunities. And typically we stay away from those because we think those are customers that just they bid out of a matter of policy and low dollar is going to get it. So we know that we're going to have to be very sharp on the pricing. It's not going to bring the margins we like, but the injection of volume can pretty quickly dilute some of the fixed overheads. And so net profit can remain pretty healthy, but we start to step outside our niche. And so it's more of a financial more than a financial question, because now we're dealing with customers that maybe don't see the value. So I'm tempted by these opportunities. I want to scale, meaning hyper grow, and want you to solve that for me in 12 seconds.
Well, this is what I get for calling you old, making fun of your birthday and your esteemed title as Kentucky Colonel. You're actually going to make me work for a living, and that's a tough one. Luckily, I can make stuff up really well on my feet. So I've got four steps that are not just going to help answer this for you, although they will, but Cleaning Nation, whatever level that you're at, there might be some people Dave's level going, this is exactly what I need. Thank you. Now that I know how to get drunk as a rich white guy, this is the very next question I had on my mind. There might also be some people that are neither rich nor white nor want to get drunk that are like, finally something of interest to me. There might be other folks that are like, I'm interested in the niche question, but maybe not that level. We're going to see if we can't give something for everybody. So first and foremost, no matter the level that you are at of either drunkenness or niche commitment, we always start with our goals. So I love that Dave put this in context of, I am clear on my goals, and we've talked about those offline, and Dave is very clear. So first and foremost, I would start with that, and not just top line, but bottom line. And it's so funny, the guys that are just starting are like, man, if I could just have my company break six figures, be $100,000 a year, that would be phenomenal. Of course, the six figure, the $100,000 guys, they want to be at $500,000. The million have to be at $1 million. They know if they just got to $1 million, their life would be great. The million want to be to five to 10. And everyone thinks, well, once I get to the next thing, then my life will be great. Well, here's a great example of Dave already doing millions of dollars in revenue and has not given up and said, I'm fine. He still needs more revenue, which is great. That's what fuels us entrepreneurs. The one thing I always want to put in is make sure that we've got the entire picture. So we don't just want once I get to a $10 million, $100 million company, I'll be happy. It's generally once I get to a $10 million company, I assume I'm going to be wealthy. So we need to be really clear on what wealthy is and make sure that those assumptions are built in. So we don't get to $100 million and we're making 2% more or 4% less than we're making now and go, well, we've just 10x'd our headache, but we really haven't gotten the returns that we'd made. So far, so good, Dave, or any of that inflammatory?
Oh, you're always inflammatory. I agree. And when I model out, you know, like right now, for example, our gross margins right around 42%. If we're doing specialty floor care, probably in the 60% range, and then janitorial, probably in that 35% range. So we run our business right at 42. But as you model out, even with taking some competitive bids, let's say that gross margin drops from 42 to 35 or even lower, overhead can shrink to, it can shrink to under 20%. So you can have easily close to, 15 to 20% net on a very large number flowing through the business.
So perfect. That's the big picture. And again, your numbers are obviously going to vary, but the thought process Dave just went through in terms of I need to, he kind of ended with the net, but I'm guessing when he thought it through, he started with the net. So he's got an entire plan going. I'm willing to flex or I don't want to say negotiate, but we'll just say flex on my gross profit as long as my net profit can stay the same. So we're not looking for growth just for the sake of growth. Trust me, I've done the not so fun. Sounds glamorous. It's not. Double your business and keep your dollar profit the same. So double your gross sales and had your net profit percentage drop in half because of the doubling, and it's a bear. Or even if your total dollars goes up 5 or 10%, but your headache, risk, exposure, just flat out brain damage doubles or triples, especially if you do it quickly. We all know that, you can go from zero to a million in 10 years and it's pretty painless. You can do it in 10 months and it's a wild ride. So love that we've got the context. That said, we always look at red, yellow, green. So before, and this is certainly, if it's just you, you've got to be clear on this. When you have a sales team that's handling these leads, bids, and sales like Dave does, they have to be crystal clear. So green is where we are putting all our time, dollars, money, and passion into. They're the only people whose opinion we care about. So if we, I don't want to say offend, but alienate people outside of the green, so be it. Don't care. I'm sure there's lots of people that would give me money for my coaching that do landscaping or car dealerships or a variety of other businesses. That I'm not really interested in their business. And if my this podcast, growmycleaningcompany.com, is like, well, that's not for me, that's fantastic. So that would be green is the people that we spend all of our focus on. And those are the only people we're looking to please. Yellow, we will take their money. If they come up with a fistful of cash and say, hey, please help me, and we think we can help them, we'll take their money. So, I had a friend of mine that was one of my finance managers when I had my car dealership. He is now the general manager of a different car dealership, came to me for help, and I helped him. Fine, right? Because it didn't dilute from what I'm doing. I didn't change any of my messaging to include things that would please him. I made no allowances for him in any of my marketing, messaging, or schedule other than he gave me money and I gave him help. So for me, that would be a yellow customer. What I hear you saying, Dave, is there some people that maybe have been red, and the final category is red, which is we don't do them. So for Dave, that might be any residential cleaning. It might be residential cleaning or commercial cleaning that are perfect in Phoenix because they're in Indiana. It might be you get to decide. So whatever you decide is red, yellow, green is fine, but you just have to decide up front once and for all. So every time you get someone coming in, you're not rehashing the same conversation in your mind like, oh, this is tempting, this is that, this is whatever. So get together with the key management, decide who is red, meaning it doesn't matter how much money they have. We do not do this work, period, for any reason. Yellow, which is we're going to make no allowances with them and our time, money, and passion in attracting clients funnel. And green, all of our time, money, but we'll still take their money on the yellow. And then green is that's who we're looking for. So what I hear you saying is the people that up until now or previously have been red with your previous growth goals, you're considering moving them to yellow. Fair, or did I totally misread you?
No, you're right. We were too, well, I shouldn't say too. We've been very strict on exactly who our customer is. So we probably lumped a lot more people, meaning they look and smell like one of our customers, larger commercial buildings, owner operator or single tenant, you know, more than 200,000 cleanable square feet.
Real quick, but does everybody policy, hear that? Hold on, really quick. People come to me and go, yeah. I have a niche. I only do commercial. That's not a niche. Do you hear how Dave, just off the top of his head, without me even asking, said, I think it was four, maybe five characteristics that were very specific to his niche. So that clarity around his niche, powerful. So keep going. You just casually mentioned it like it wasn't a big deal. That's a big deal that you're that clear. Keep going.
Well, it took a year to get there. So believe me, it wasn't always like that. But we've worked hard to say, okay, so this is our customer. And some businesses that look like that have a policy or just are in the cycle of hoping for better service if they could just get a lower price. And we have considered them red and just walked away. Now, we could have shot a number. And, you know, it would be a lower number than what we like to give to the green customers. But, you know, if it's a $200,000, $500,000 a year contract, and if because of our operating systems, we can actually get them off the cycle of renewing every or bidding every year and turn this into recurring revenue, well, that's a nice chunk of revenue. And I don't need to add as much overhead. So it helps to dilute that overhead and my net profit becomes richer.
All right. So love that analysis. Couldn't agree more. Let's just to kind of finish the conversation. Step one, start with your goals, which clearly Dave's doing. Step two, identify your red, yellow, green. And Dave's going, yeah, but that's exactly what I'm doing. I've got people that are now red. I'm considering moving them yellow. How do we do that? Well, that brings us to step three. The third step I would do is verify how much you have in current niches. So let's say your goal is to be $100 million and say you're doing $10 million. So we've got a $90 million delta that we need to make up for. If your current niches are, and you've got a couple, let's just say total revenue spent in those niches is $50 million. Well, obviously that can't get us to a goal because it's ridiculous for us to assume we're going to get 100% of the work. And even if we did, that would only get us from the 10 million you're at now, add 50 million, that's only 60 million, still doesn't get us there. The number I use is 10%. That is typically what I have found. And again, this is kind of a big rule of thumb number, not exact science, but from my experience, both coaching and being in business, I found that you can get 10% of any given niche without spending exorbitant amounts of time and money to attract them. So it's not that once you hit 10%, game over and we quit. It's just we are open to the fact that the cost to acquire a customer may not scale. It might get more and more expensive because there's some saturation there. So that's the math I would do next is verify. And again, some of this is going to be big thumb math, right? It's not like there's a report given in terms of what Dave's niche is, how many, you know, there's exactly 32,496,000, you know, it's nothing like that. Dave, you're just gonna have to know your niche well enough to make some assessments. Take 10% of that. And if that's that number, if that 10% of the total volume annually you feel your niche is going to do, if that's enough to get you to your goal, then the adding a new niche conversation is over. If it's not enough to get you to your goal, the adding a new niche conversation or I don't want to say laxing your standards, but just enlarging your circle, that conversation can continue. Typically, the two ways that you're going to do this are add a new vertical, i.e., well, Dave's got a kind of a good hybrid. So add a new vertical, i.e., I do car dealerships and now I'm going to do golf courses. Dave's got a nice point of, I used to only do car dealerships or golf courses or manufacturing facilities between this square footage and that square footage or that were owner occupied or that did this sort of bidding or whatever other criterion that you've created. And we are going to remove that criteria. I love that as probably a first step, dip your toe in the water kind of test thing is to, just enlarge the circle within what you've already got. I would do that slowly. So if you've got three or four restrictions that you've had before in terms of, well, they've got to be owner occupied, they've got to not bid every year, no matter what, and they've got to be a certain square footage, I wouldn't change all three of those at once. I'd probably just make one of those go red. So if you said we before, if they bid every year, no matter what, we've not bid them, that's the one that we're going to include and let that run for 3 months before I kind of threw out the baby with the bathwater. That's the first one. The second one is add an entire new vertical. Hey, we've been focusing entirely on manufacturing. We're going to add car dealerships or daycare or restaurants or whatever the case may be to the party. And then third, which is where most people start, but this should be the last, is to expand geographically. We are going to take this show on the road and serve other niches in other areas. But again, first and foremost, make sure that 10% of the niche that you have now is not enough to meet your goals. Then and only then do we expand or add niches. And then the third step would be expand or add geographic areas, which adds a lot of time and complexity and money. Questions, comments, rude remarks so far, Dave? I've got one more step, and then I think that'll be that.
No, that actually makes sense. And I love the benchmark of 10%. Like you said, it's rough math, but at least we can start to box this in and take a look at it. And that's something we haven't done yet.
Yeah. And maybe it's 11, maybe it's 8, but it's not 2%. And it's not 80%. Right. And so it's a great way to get you started. And if you're off one point here or there, it's still better than just, you know, taking a wild guess.
Hey, Cleaning Nation, there's just too much good stuff in this episode for just one podcast, so we split it into two. Stay tuned for the next episode and the conclusion with return guest Dave Follinger. See you there.
Congratulations. You are now 16% smarter. Still can't get enough cleaning goodness? Go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com for more of the good stuff. Ever want to be rich and famous? Owners of cleaning companies, as well as industry experts, can apply to be featured on the show by emailing our producer, Natalie, at support@growmycleaningcompany.com. Until then, don't miss out on all the latest cleaning industry lovin' at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now.